relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Boris Epstein.
Thank you so much, Sebastian, my good friend, MAGA champion. It has been my honor. It has been my pleasure to guest host for Sebastian on America First yesterday and today. We have an unbelievable hour left. Coming up right now, America's mayor, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, an American hero, then Bernie Kerik. And then Jim Renacci out of Ohio. Mayor Rudy Giuliani, are you with us?
I am with you, Boris. How is my friend Boris?
Mayor, I'm doing well. It is such an honor to be with you. Thank you so much for taking the time, sir.
Always a pleasure, Boris. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Mayor, so much going on, so much to get through. Let's start with this. Let's start with a disgusting political persecution of an American hero, of this generation's Elliot Ness. You, Mayor Giuliani, the D.C. bar just suspended your license. The New York bars come after you. How do you respond? How do you fight back? How can this audience fight back?
Well, first of all, I know this will sound strange to you, but I see it as kind of a badge of honor from these people.
As you should.
These people are, I don't know, some deliberate, some not. They're consumed with a hatred that has completely consumed their rationality, their fairness, their decency. And that's this irrational hatred of Donald Trump. And I mean, I know from the time I started representing him that we were getting all kinds of letters and bar association groups getting together that I should not be doing this. And of course, that is totally inconsistent with our profession, which is everybody's entitled to a defense.
Exactly.
We really shouldn't have much of an issue in defending a president of the United States. And then remember, I'm probably one of their worst enemies, right? If you think about it, maybe
the worst.
I probably have more facts than anybody else. I investigated the entire Biden situation as part of my defense of him, to have it ready to defend him should they try to go any further with that Russian collusion frame up. In the course of that, I gathered information about the bribes that he was taking in Ukraine. And then I gathered information about the bribes that he's been taking for 30 years. And then, as you know, the guy that he brought the computer to, the hard drive to fix, he forgot to go back and get it. And the guy tried to get it into the right hands, couldn't. And I was kind of the last one that he trusted. And he gave it to my lawyer, Bob Costello. He said, I trust Giuliani. He'll handle it the right way. So now I'm in possession of the solid proof that they've been crooks for 30 years. It was summed up in Miranda Devine's column yesterday when she went to the text that you know so well, where he tells his daughter, I think it's January 3rd, 2018. He texts his daughter. He's kind of mad. And he says, you know, it's almost like Rodney Dangerfield. I get no respect.
It is almost like Rodney Dangerfield. I get no respect. Nobody loves me.
I get no respect, even though I've been supporting this family for 30 years. But maybe Pop won't also require you to give him half of your salary like I had to.
Oof.
So what,
heavy
what,
stuff.
I mean, you have to be deliberately stupid, right? not to figure out what that means in the context of money from the crookedest people in Ukraine, right. Russia, China, Romania, Kazakhstan, and then a lot of local shakedowns. You know, the MSN, the bank that the son worked for, all of the crazy situations his brother James got him into. So basically what they're saying...
They're a real all-star family over there. Brother James, brother Frank, and
they're a crime family.
Crime family.
They're a bunch of crooks. Over a 30-year period, they amassed $30 million minimum.
Now, Mayor, let me ask you this question.
Selling his office. And then his claims that he didn't know about it are disproven by all the times he's meeting with the clients.
Meeting, having dinner with the at fancy Cafe Milano. They're having a blast. Mayor, let me ask you this question.
He should have been arrested.
Let me ask this question. When the FBI shockingly barged into your house, even though they had no reason to do so, and they took, you know, electronic equipment, well, they were interested and took the hard drive from the Hunter Biden laptop also, right? Because there's evidence of criminality on there. Did they grab it? Did they impound it?
They lined up the search warrant allowed them to take electronic equipment, so they couldn't take papers. And so they lined up all the electronic equipment on my dining room table, and we went through it. And I said, you know, this really isn't mine. This belongs to my ex-wife, and she left it here. No, this belongs to a friend who left it here. Yeah, those are all mine. I was trying to help them. We get to the end, and I said, and those are mine. Oh, by the way, that's all the Hunter Biden. I kind of want to needle them a little. I said, one is the edited version, and the other one is with the child pornography.
Well, heavy.
And they looked at me, and I swear to God, they were nice guys. I don't want to get them in trouble, but they said, oh, no, we don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want that.
Hot potato.
I said, you know, I'm going to tell you, the funny thing about this is, you see all that stuff you got there? This is the only incriminating stuff I have in my apartment. The rest of that stuff, you can go through your heart's content. You're not going to find any of it.
Unbelievable.
And by the way, they've been investigating me for 2.5 years. They basically had what they seized because they went and got my iCloud account.
Which, by the way, San Bernardino killers did not have their iCloud account accessed. Isn't that correct? But America's mayor, an American hero, had his account accessed.
That's when I was representing the president in the impeachment proceedings. Leading up to it and the proceedings when they went and got it. In other words, they went and got the account of one of his most active lawyer in his defense. How they justified that and how they justify invading my law office. I mean, there are 6 or 7 or 8 other clients whose attorney-client privilege they've just trashed. They've completely, I mean, I a long time ago figured out they don't think that Donald Trump has an attorney-client privilege. I was a prosecutor for 17 years. I never invaded a lawyer's office. The only lawyers whose offices get invaded are lawyers for Donald Trump.
They believe that Donald J. Trump, President Trump, the 45th and hopefully 47th president of this country, and anybody who's fought for him or supported him do not have the same rights as liberals, Democrats. You know, the two criminals who threw Molotov cocktails at police in New York, they still have their law licenses, yet the New York bar comes after you. The D.C., and all these are liberal institutions. We know it. These are all liberal, absolutely woke, extreme institutions. And you may not like me saying this, Mayor, but I'm going to say this right now. We all need to support Mayor Giuliani. So I want you to go to RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com and support him, because we need to help Mayor Giuliani. This is an American hero.
What I want to do is not only have the resources to defend myself and others, I want to have the resources to sue them for violating civil rights in a class action suit. I mean, what they've done, first of all, almost all the comments they're talking about were made on television or on my radio show. These are not comments I made in court. I mean, if I had done something wrong in court, the judge would have held me in contempt.
Right.
The judge would have referred me for investigation. Well, he didn't. He ruled against
me. And I was there in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, when you were in court and did an amazing job standing up for President Trump and election integrity. I had opposing
something
you may not even know, Mayor. I had opposing counsel, Democrats, come up to me saying how impressed and blown away they were by Mayor Giuliani's performance in federal court in Johnstown, PA. Opposing counsel. Now, that is a true story.
Yeah, but I mean, generally, if something like this happens, it's the judge presiding over the case says, I'm referring this for investigation because I believe the lawyer acted unethically. So they just pulled us out of their hat. And these are statements that I make on television and radio, which are protected by the First Amendment.
Right.
There's a Supreme Court case, I think it's called Gentile, which says that those comments should not be the basis for lawyer discipline because we expect lawyers to be hyperbolic in the representation of their clients. That's how you give them proper representation. These weren't statements I made in court. Plus, as you know, I have support for everything I said. You were there with me when we would go over the report. And they have never looked at any of that. So they conclude I'm not telling the truth. I offered them affidavits to show that I was, and they didn't take the affidavits because they didn't want to get burdened by the facts.
Mayor, remember, we've got about 30 seconds left in this segment. I'm going to ask you to stay over into the next segment, and then we'll have Bernie Kerik. It is such an honor to speak with you, such an honor to have you on this show in America First. Mayor Giuliani, a MAGA patriot, we've got to support him, RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com, and we've got to fight back. President Trump fought back with his lawsuit yesterday. Rudy Giuliani's fighting back. MAGA champions, MAGA patriots do not stand down. They fight, and we've got to back them up. We'll be right back.
Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Boris Epstein.
And here we are. We've got 40 minutes left in the show. I'm Boris Epstein. I've been driving this train for 2 days now, just like the fast freight train of audits that's coming from Arizona to Pennsylvania to Georgia. This has been a train full steam ahead, and we continue pushing forward. We've got America's Mayor Rudy Giuliani back with us and American hero, former New York City Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik joins us as well. This is truly a power panel. Bernie, how are you?
I'm good.
Bernie, in the last segment, we were just talking with the mayor about the cynical, disgusting attempt by the left to persecute him, not prosecute, to persecute him for his beliefs, for his fight for the MAGA movement, for his fight for Donald J. Trump. Your reaction to the D.C. bar's pathetic move yesterday, Bernie Kerik.
Well, they're just following in the footsteps of New York, and they're doing what they're mandated to do by the party, I believe. You know, in New York State, the New York bar, those guys, they all act for or respond to or work for the governor of the state of New York, Andrew Cuomo. They had to do what they had to do, or they'd be fired. The left is on a mission, and the mission is to take out anybody that supports President Trump, that endorses President Trump, that works for him. They've attacked him. They've attacked his family, his supporters, his attorneys, everybody under the sun. But you know what? It hasn't stopped the truth from coming out.
That's right.
They can do all they want. They can go after Rudy Giuliani. Rudy's not going to break. Rudy's not going to fall. And he's going to continue to tell the truth as he's done since the beginning, since the election, and even prior during the impeachment hearings.
Mayor, let's talk about the reason, a part of the reason, why the woke, extreme, pathetic left is coming after you so hard. Let's talk about this freight train of audits that's going from Arizona to Pennsylvania to Georgia. What are your hopes for what's going to come out of Arizona and Pennsylvania and Georgia?
Well, I think I know what's going to come out of Arizona if they do it correctly. I've seen all the records. I have copies of all the records. I think there are a lot of reasons why they've been doing this. Right now, I think they have a special reason. They want to shut me up because they know what they're in for in the next couple of months. When the Arizona audit comes out, it's going to show pretty much what we said. And same thing with Georgia. Pennsylvania is the biggest. Pennsylvania is a big job. I mean, first of all, anybody with common sense knows that Pennsylvania had to have been stolen. The president was ahead by 750,000 to 800,000 votes, with 65% of the vote cast. As you know, we had three different statistical experts who were willing to testify. It's impossible to make up that number.
One in a quadrillion chance, I believe. One in a quadrillion chance to make that up.
And then with the analysis of the vote itself, which was done by statisticians, in order to make that up, they had votes like 500,000 votes for Biden, 3,000 votes for Trump. I mean, there's no place in the world that he was going to get less than 1% of the vote on any
in Pennsylvania, no less, right?
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, where, remember, right before the election, he went to that little town with a population of 40,000. They got 80,000 people. And when Biden went there, he had 12 cars, most of whom were our people beeping at him. I mean, it's ridiculous. Everybody in Pennsylvania that knows politics, including the Democrats, knows that Trump beat him. And he probably beat him by well over 100,000. So they had to make up ballots. I mean, for example, that truck that came from Bethpage, New York.
Right. What's the story there?
The FBI made that disappear. They also made the burning of ballots disappear. We were able to get some of those burning of ballots. So there was some kind of an organized effort here to get this done. I'll tell you why I know it's organized. In six different places, they did the same thing. It's a perfect mark of a conspiracy. How is it that on the morning of the count, in six different places across America, for the first time ever in the counting of votes, these rails were put up? The Republican inspectors, who up until then for 50 years always got to see the printed ballots, were put a football field away and were physically restrained from doing their job of examining the paper. We didn't see any paper in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Phoenix, or Atlanta. And they picked all corrupt Democrat cities to do it in. So if you are very smart, they didn't do it in Omaha, Nebraska. They picked cities where if you go to court, you've got a Democrat selected judges who will make absurd decisions. And they did. This was a very well orchestrated, very well planned. And then when Trump was getting too far ahead, how come the count stops in five different places within a half hour of each other?
Oh, there's a flood, right? Noah's Ark's coming out.
No flood. No right. flood.
There's a
they
flood. There's
down, they
the time.
Down Detroit, and
it's
then
a joke.
A truck comes in at 3 a.m. with 100,000 ballots on. This is
so
all
Mayor,
true.
Let me ask you this question. And you know, we've got about 2.5 minutes here, and then I know you've got to go, and we'll be on with Bernie Kerik in the next segment. Where do you see this going? You know, there's been this debate. You are one of the brightest legal minds in the history of this country. There's been a debate about whether once the receipts are in, and there's overwhelming fraud shown, if that's what's shown, as we expect. Is there anything that could be, there's some who say that there's absolutely no constitutional way possible to deal with the last election. I have been out there and said I disagree with that perspective. The Constitution, between the 12th Amendment and the Electoral Vote Count Act and the 14th Amendment, does not prohibit a potential action to correct the previous election if one has to happen. Where do you stand?
I think it's very close. I think I, you know, as a lawyer, I'd be comfortable arguing either side of it. They both right. have a good basis for it. The thing that worries me is you're asking the court in this highly charged atmosphere to do something for which there's no precedent. So the court would basically have to make that interpretation for the first time based upon what, if this were a regular election and you could prove fraud, you could overturn the election. However, we have a whole process in the Constitution of removing a president. And the question would be, is that the only process the founders made available, or could an action for fraud be brought? My tendency would be that might be 50-50, but given how reluctant the court was to intervene in the first place, I don't know if they'd be that bold. You could try it. But I think one of the things that would happen, it would certainly make sure it doesn't happen again.
Right.
It would kill all this nonsense about H.R. 1. We're going to send out, I mean, they want to send out 140,000 ballots, 140 million ballots, excuse me.
Million ballots, right.
For the next election. And you can send them back with no identification.
Unbelievable. Mayor Giuliani, an American hero, somebody who's fought for America, who continues to fight for America, somebody who's fighting for all of us. And we've got to support him. Go to RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. Support Mayor Giuliani. Mayor, thank you so much for being here. It's an honor. God bless you. God bless your family.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
This is Boris Epstein on America First with Sebastian Gorka. I am guest hosting. We only have a half hour left, but we still have a packed show. Back with us, Bernie Kerik, American hero, former New York City Police Commissioner. Bernie, I want to talk to you about the terrible law and order situation in our cities, specifically in Chicago, where Max Lewis, a 20-year-old student, was killed senselessly. On a train, bullet, straight bullet hit him and he's dead. My brother from an Alpha Epsilon Pi fraternity, a wonderful young man, and so many more dying in Chicago. New York is getting terrible. Where do you stand, Bernie Kerik? What needs to be done?
Well, listen, Boris, this is about one thing and one thing only, and that is leadership. You know, I think people tend to forget, and a lot of people that listen to this stuff today, they weren't around in New York City back in the 80s and 90s. But if you were, you realize that in 1993, the murder rate in New York City was more than it is today in Atlanta, L.A., Baltimore, Detroit combined, right? We were the murder capital of the United States. And people said it could never get fixed. It's never going to change. It's too big. It's too dirty. It's too corrupt. It's too gun infested. All the arguments that they have today for cities like Atlanta or cities like Chicago or New York City as the crime wave comes back. But the bottom line is, it was all about leadership. Rudy Giuliani came in over his 8-year term, reduced violent crime by 65%, reduced murder by 70%. And in the black community, he reduced the murder rate by almost 80%, because that's where the violent crime is the highest. So don't tell me that this stuff cannot be fixed. But when you live in cities that are run by Democrats who are calling for the defunding of police, and defunding, to be clear, is nothing but an elimination of resources from the police departments. You take away money, manpower, resources, training. Everything you've put into those cities to make them safe and secure, you now take out as a result of defunding. And when you do, as I predicted last year, a year and a half ago, when this nonsense started, you're going to see substantial increases in violent crime. The increases have been overwhelming. But here's things that nobody pays attention to. In Atlanta, they have had a 40% increase in shootings. They've had a 41% reduction in arrests. Why? Because they've reduced manpower. They've taken away the immunity for cops. They're not supporting their cops. The same thing's going on in New York. The murder rate's up. The shootings are up. Violent crime is up. Cops, they took away the qualified immunity. They took away 600 cops off the streets, anti-crime, plainclothes cops. Their sole function in life is to go look for guns, illegal guns. They took them off the streets. So, you know, everybody sits around in a big circle jerk in Washington wanting to know what's going on. The crime is out of control. Why is it out of control? And I have to tell you, Boris, as an outsider and somebody that's done this before, I have to tell you, I'm starting to wonder if this stuff isn't intentional. And I think that, especially
after, I think that's a very good point.
You know, Andrew Cuomo came out with that nonsense press conference where he's going to institute some kind of program and give them $138 million to go after gun manufacturers. You don't need to go after gun manufacturers. Gun manufacturers aren't doing anything illegal. It's the bad guys that are doing illegal stuff, and they don't give a damn about your law, your programs, your $138 million. They could care less. So the bottom line is, I honestly believe the Democrats want as many guns in the streets as they can possibly have. They want as much violence as they can possibly have, because they're using that as a catalyst to remove the guns, to go after the Second Amendment. That's what I believe.
So, Bernie, we have about a minute left. What can the MAGA movement, what can the MAGA posse, what can the MAGA populace do to make sure this doesn't keep happening in our cities?
Well, first and foremost, 2022, they got to take the House and the Senate. Have to take the House and the Senate. They got to go after every one of these positions. And when I say take the House and Senate, I mean MAGA has to take the House and
right.
Senate. Get rid of the rhinos that are in there, because they're just as bad as Democrats, in my opinion. In fact, they're worse. They're worse because they're taking up vital positions that we could use to really change the laws and hold the president accountable. That's the bottom line. They've got to take the House and Senate in 2022.
You heard it right there from Bernie Kerik. Bernie, an American hero. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you. God bless you. Stay strong. Keep fighting. Thank you so much, Bernie.
America first.
The music is unbelievable, as always, on this show. We only have about 15 minutes left. We're supposed to have Jim Renacci, who's running for governor in Ohio. We've got some technical difficulties. We expect to have him any moment now. But let me tell you that this show has absolutely blown away my expectations, my hopes and dreams. It has been such an honor to sit in for MAGA champion Sebastian Gorka for these last 2 days. And today's show, Steve Bannon, Vernon Jones, Jane Timken, Bernie Kerik, and of course, America's Mayor Rudy Giuliani. This has been above and beyond. This has been, as Steve Bannon said, a murderer's row of MAGA. And that's what we need. We need loud MAGA voices out there all day, every day, pushing ahead, pushing back. We cannot accept a tyranny of the left. We cannot accept the tyranny of the establishment. We have to fight back. With us right now, Jim Renacci, running, former representative in the House from Ohio's 16th District, running for governor against Mike DeWine in Ohio. Jim, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Of course. So we don't have a lot of time, just about 4 or 5 minutes. Tell us, why are you running for governor and why are you running against a fellow Republican?
Well, it's interesting you ask that. I get asked that a lot. Mike DeWine is not acting like a Republican. He's running the state like a Democrat. 2.5 years ago, I did run against him, moved to the Senate race, but I didn't believe he was the type of person who could change Ohio, and he hasn't. 2.5 years later, we've fallen behind in multiple categories, everything from jobs to drug addiction and overdose, everything that you would expect from a Democrat state like Cuomo in New York or Gavin in California. This governor has acted like a Democrat. He's governed like a Democrat, and it's one of the reasons why Ohio is falling behind.
Where's the polling in the race? How likely, how possible is it for you to unseat an incumbent Republican governor?
That's a great question.
We only ask the good ones here, Jim. Only the good questions here.
Well, good question to me, because I saw multiple polls where donors were telling me to get in the race. And then I went out and hired a national polling firm, Fabrizio, who came back and showed that Governor DeWine has a 16%, only 16% of the voters say they will vote for him again. 14% say they will likely vote for him again. That's 30%. But on the other side, 35% said they will never vote for him again, and 15%
And this is Republican voters?
These are Republican voters, yes.
Okay. So how many would never vote?
Well, 50%, 35% said they will never vote for him, 15% they will likely not vote for him. So 50% of the voters will never vote for him or likely not vote for him. On the reverse side, 16% said they would vote for him, and 14% said they would likely vote for him.
Very interesting.
On a head-to-head poll, I actually win today, 42-31, I believe, were the numbers, with 25% undecided. And of those 25%, the majority said they were leaning against Governor DeWine. So these are Republicans. These are Republican voters.
What are your key issues? What are you running on to defeat Mike DeWine? What are you focusing on as you crisscross Ohio?
Well, it's pretty easy. As I crisscross Ohio, I'm finding Republicans, Trump Republicans, but also just conservative Republicans saying we're tired of it. We're tired of a career politician who, during COVID, locked us down like a Democrat governor. During COVID, hired a Democrat medical director who was pro-abortion and put her out front saying that, we're going to have 10,000 cases a day, and he put fear in everybody. But at the same time, his draconian policies, because of those, we've lost 40% of many of our bars and restaurants, and businesses are suffering. So it's a pretty easy run. Most Republican chairs that I talk to do not support. They know their counties do not support Governor DeWine. But the polling also shows that. So we're just going to continue to talk about what he's done, and how the state has continued to fall behind. And we're going to work with those 35 for sure that aren't going to vote for him, and the 15 that probably aren't going to vote for them, and tell them I'm the candidate that can take Ohio in a different direction.
Jim, I asked this question of all candidates vying for the support of the MAGA movement. Where do you stand on the freight train of audits that's going from Arizona to Georgia to Pennsylvania to get to the bottom of what happened in the 2020 election? Do you support the audits?
Well, absolutely. I do support the audits.
Good.
I do think that election integrity is important. I think that, and by the way, when you're talking about a MAGA candidate or MAGA individual, I was supporting Donald Trump in Ohio before any was supporting him. On March 13th, before the March primary, I endorsed Donald Trump as a sitting member of Congress when nobody else was endorsing
that.
Him. If you remember back then, we had John Kasich running for president as well, and most people were hiding behind John Kasich.
How'd that work out for Kasich?
Well, you can see Kasich didn't go anywhere. He did win that primary, but he lost in the long run Ohio, as most people were. Ohio was the only state he won, but he didn't win much. And, of course, as time played out, candidate Trump at that time was able to garnish more support and win Ohio in 2016 and then win Ohio again in 2020.
That's right. Do you see Ohio turning ruby red over time? we've seen Ohio go from, you know, truly, truly battleground state, 50-50 purple, to now President Trump winning it by almost 9 points. Where do you see Ohio going politically? We've got about 90 seconds.
Well, here's where Ohio is. 23% Republican, 21% Democrat, and 56% independent. Ohio is not a Republican state. I call it a Trump state. It's a place where independents are more conservative and where Republicans garnish the lead because of those independents.
That's very interesting. What are you planning to do in the next month, 6 months, and next year, really, as you run for this primary? What are you going to do to try to win the MAGA vote and become the nominee for governor in Ohio?
Well, it's easy for me to convince people that I'm the MAGA candidate because of my support for Donald Trump since March of 2016, before the Ohio primary. But what I really need to convince them of is make sure they're aware that Governor DeWine is not a MAGA candidate, and Governor DeWine is actually somebody who is more of a Democrat than a Republican. He's a Cuomo-like governor.
Jim Renacci, thank you so much for joining us. Very, very interesting race there in Ohio. We had Jane Timken earlier running for the Senate. Now Jim Renacci running for governor. Thank you so much. We will be right back. My countrymen, my brothers and sisters in the MAGA movement, it has been such an honor to be your host on America First, to guest host for Sebastian Gorka. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for breaking the record on Rumble. We got up to almost 4,000 views on Rumble, a record for the show during the show. Thank you so much for giving me your ear. Thank you so much for watching. And thank you for continuing to fight. It is my honor to be out there fighting for you day in, day out, to be pushing the freight train of audits, to be helping audits go across the country from Arizona to Pennsylvania to Georgia to get to the bottom of what happened on 3 November 2020. It is my honor to support Rudy Giuliani, to support Bernie Kerik. It is my honor to be on this show weekly with the one and only Sebastian Gorka, and it is also my honor to be on War Room with Stephen K. Bannon. Why are we all doing this? We are doing it. We're spending our time. We're spending our lives. We're putting our reputations on the line because we believe in MAGA. We believe in America First. And we believe that that is the future of this country. As Vernon Jones said, this can be our sunrise. This can be the start of a new day in America, but only if we push back against the tyranny of the left. If we do not, if we let them overtake us, this country will become like the country that me and my family ran away from. The rubble of the Soviet Union. Hateful. Decrepit. 3-hour-long breadlines. A sad, dark, dangerous place. And it's already becoming dangerous here. Bernie Kerik told us all about it. So all of you MAGA patriots, stand up. Always color within the lines, but stand up, stay strong, push back. Push back against critical race theory. Push back against those who are urging our children to change their genders. Push back against the hate of the left. Push back against the stealing of our elections. Push back against the artist formerly known as Joe Biden, those controlling him in the White House. Fight back against the overspending that's happening, the trillions and trillions and trillions of your dollars going out the door, going out the window. Push back against that. I know you will. I know you will because you are the bloodline of this country. You are what makes this country tick. President Donald Trump was the most authentic president in the history of this country. He was the 45th president, and I hope he'll be the 47th president. And with his leadership, we are going to keep making America great again. It is my honor to be a small part of that. It's also my honor to wish my dad a happy birthday coming up on Monday, July 12th. Dad, I love you so much. Thanks for all your support. I want to thank all, each and every one of you who tuned in these last 2 days. It has been wonderful. I want to thank the team at America First. Great team that Sebastian's got. I want to thank everybody at Salem. Sebastian Gorka, a great American, an American patriot. I want to leave you with this. Stay strong. keep fighting. Believe in yourselves, believe in the MAGA movement, and believe in God. God bless each and every one of you. I love you. Have a great day.